This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Kurt Collins, our guest co-host, asked our guest, Bryce Sable, a specific question about Einstein. What do you think, Bryce?
Let's break that down. There's what might Einstein have known versus whether the woman who claimed to be his assistant in 1947 and then speak in 1994 before her death about what they saw is authentic. It seems like a stretch, and I wish there was more provenance for that tape. It seems, I can't say that wasn't that woman, but I think if somebody would look into it, they would be able to tell pretty quickly whether it was even the woman, because there's people that knew her and still are alive that could tell you whether that was her voice and whether she said those things. I saw something, again, I haven't had time to do the personal research into it, but I saw something that said that that woman would have been 17 years old in 1947. So it seems kind of unlikely to me that she's hanging around the fringes of people having telepathic conversations with aliens. So I would have to do what my dear friend Stan Friedman used to say. I'd have to put that in the gray box and say, don't know enough whether that can be credible or not. Now, your other question, though, is about what do we think about Einstein? Well, listen, I think it's pretty clear that something unusual crashed in Roswell, and as I said, I think they may have accidentally told the truth about it, in which case a group was formed, whether it was Majestic 12 or not, to look into it, and that group no doubt would have had some of the best military people of the time and some of the best sort of scientific people of the time brought to bear on this issue. Certainly, Albert Einstein would have to be one of the potential people you'd talk to about it, but I've seen nothing in my investigations that would imply to me that he actually did. He seems to have denied it more than most. You almost have to take him at his word at this point. He's not here to defend himself, and there isn't anyone who's written an incredibly detailed book about Einstein and UFOs, so it's probably not authentic.
I guess we should mention, before we get too far away, since you've discussed your show, Dark Skies, and that's pretty fondly remembered by a lot of people for the way it treated the UFO subject. We had a question from Jordan, 1986. He wanted to talk about the way MJ-12 was depicted and how it covered some historical events, and he considered it a realistic approach. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that, but the capper on his question was, you know, is there any possibility that the show might be reborn?
There's a lot to that. Let's start with this. This right now, today, we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of Dark Skies. So I can't believe that many years have passed. It was an NBC primetime series, and it really did break some new ground. The idea was that a young, naive man, I think he was 23 at the time, goes to Washington, D.C. in 1961 to be part of Kennedy's New Frontier, and ends up actually, by his virtue of his ballsy research, gets himself recruited into Majestic 12 and suddenly becomes a man in black and has to lead an entire secret life. The people who remember it fondly remember it because we tried to weave historical events from the 60s in with UFO events and try to come up with kind of a seamless presentation of that. The series ran on screen from 1961 through 1967, Summer of Love. Of course, it was on the air in 96 and 97. So, yeah, I feel fond about it, and I wish I could get it rebooted. I have a great idea for how to reboot it. I'd love nothing more than to get to reshoot that pilot again or something with today's phenomenal and better special effects, but I don't own it. Sony owns it. Writers in America don't get to own their copyrights as they do in Britain and other places. So Sony would be the only place that could determine to remake Dark Skies. But there is one interesting aspect. Just because I can't remake Dark Skies doesn't mean I've lost my voice and lost my ability to tell stories. So I'm currently in the market right now with a one-hour drama called UAP that is sort of the present-day bookend to Dark Skies' historical take. I'm very proud of this UAP. I think it's a stellar piece of work, and I'm very happy with it. And, you know, maybe I'll get lucky, and maybe we'll be back on TV with something that would pair up nicely with it.
Well, it certainly is in vogue for TV producers and networks to reboot or bring back shows. Like we have CSI Las Vegas, where they mix two or three of the original characters with a brand new group of CSIs. It's a 10-episode run, I believe, but don't know how well it's doing. But that's an example, at least, of an effort to try to do that. We got Magnum PI, of course, that came back, and Hawaii Five-O did 10 years. So certainly there could be reasons. The show SWAT was based on an older TV show that wasn't that successful.
Yeah, although most of the ones you just mentioned were successful, and so they're hoping the lightning will strike again. Whereas Dark Skies was pre-DVR, all right, and which meant that we were on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock, and we got preempted multiple times in that time slot by sports events and various other things. And I don't really know anyone that tries to stay home Saturday nights at 8 o'clock. Most people are trying to be out at dinner with friends or seeing movies or going to a concert or doing anything. And so it was really hard to build an audience. And so as a consequence, even though the numbers of people who watch Dark Skies now would make it a complete and radical hit, because the numbers on shows are just smaller today than they were. But for its time, it was considered, you know, something NBC floated and wasn't able to garner the huge audience. So it would be unusual for someone to go back and want to reboot it. I've certainly tried. I have never lost an opportunity to tell someone they ought to reboot it. But right now, the only way people can see that original series even is they can't, it's not streaming anywhere. And the reason it doesn't stream is it was shot in 4:3, not 16:9. And so as a consequence, they kind of want things that look exactly, you know, that look new in that regard. So it's not streaming, but the best place you can see it is there's a DVD set put out by Shout Factory. And when I heard they were going to do it, I said, you know, if you're really going to do this, I want you to do it right, because there's a lot of fans, and this may be their first time to sit down and watch all the episodes one after another. So I actually helped them with that. They did a four-hour documentary on the series. They have all the episodes. They have alternate episodes. They have Easter eggs galore. It's a beautiful piece. You can get it on Amazon. I don't make a dime from it, but I don't care. I'm happy that people get a chance to see Dark Skies and appreciate it, because I'm very proud of that work, and I think it has stood the test of time. And even though Dark Skies may not be correct in all its in all the things that it said, because it was a dramatic series with dramatic license, I do think once we acknowledge to ourselves that the UFOs are real, and that becomes a more legitimate thing to say out in public, then there's going to be an entire group of people, historians, who set to work trying to tell the story of our country through the prism that includes UFOs. And I think it will be looked at fondly at that time, because it is close to what the work they're going to have to do to put that all together.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too, because I mentioned earlier Roswell. And the reason why I mentioned it is because today a lot of the evidence that we have is based on people remembering things that happened 30 years previously. So we have something that happened in 1947, and 31 years later, in 1978, suddenly the memories come pouring forth, and we don't know how pop culture might have altered it. I know that someone, I'm sure you know, Kevin Randall, spent many years exploring Roswell, and he wrote a book called Roswell in the 21st Century, which was published maybe 5 years ago. And there he concludes a lot of what we assume appeared to be true. The evidence kind of sort of falls apart when you look at it. We've got more to come with Bryce, Gene, Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
It's Bryce Sable talking about Roswell again. A lot of this stuff falls apart, specifically stories about aliens seen in connection with the crash. And his conclusion in the book, basically, it's a very long book. I mean, you really have to spend the time looking at it because he's chasing lots of footnotes, is that something happened. He doesn't know what it was. It does not appear to be anything experimental or a balloon or anything. But we probably never know. And that brings us to the bigger question here, because you've obviously did a series about secrets. Something happened in 1947. Maybe it was a spaceship. Number one, how do you keep it secret for all these years? Number two, what do they know? I mean, if there's a spaceship on ice somewhere at Wright-Patterson or Area 51 or anything, how could you have that thing sitting there with scientists presumably going over it without some really significant information being leaked that we could really, really nail down?
The second question was, how do you keep it on ice? What was the first question?
And just the fact that things don't seem to have held up very well.
Oh, well.
When you go through all the evidence, they don't seem to have held up very well.
You know,
so you're left with something that happened, but the testimony is contradictory. People change their stories. You're dealing with stuff that dates 31 years later forward.
Well, it's more than 31 years later.
It was when they first came out.
I know, but next year, 2022, will be the 75th anniversary of the Roswell crash. I think that's going to generate a lot of interest and news and articles, and I think the articles this year will have a more of a journalistic edge, because this will be a time when everyone's hunting the story of crash wreckage, all right? I have a lot of respect for Kevin Randall. I haven't met him. I know his former partner, Don, better. I just respectfully don't see it that way. I don't agree. I think that Roswell is a case that is exotic in technology and in occupants. And the truth is, I think we can get the truth out eventually. And I would look for the first bricks in the wall coming down on the Roswell case actually starting to come down next year. You ask a great question. How do you keep something on ice like that over the years? Well, there's a lot of ways. I mean, as Stan Friedman used to always say, you know, they kept the Manhattan Project secret, and that was many tens of thousands of people, and they managed to keep that secret. So you can keep secrets when it's worthy of keeping the secret. But I take your point. This is a big one, and if they actually had occupants and they actually had a craft, and that's on ice someplace, how is it that we don't know about it? Well, okay, that presupposes that this is a secret and a knowledge that is passed on routinely from generation to generation. We're talking about 75 years, but that's not the way information gets classified. Information gets compartmentalized, and so does evidence, right? So I'm not saying it's exactly like Raiders of the Lost Ark, where there's a giant warehouse where it's sitting there and nobody gets to look at it. It's more like the amount of people that get to know about it gets smaller every year, all right? They're not bringing more people in and doing tours of the Roswell wreckage. So my take on the wreckage is it exists. I'm sure the bodies exist. It doesn't mean that there's lots of people that have seen it or know about it at this point. In fact, what tends to happen on a big secret like that is they can almost fall out of common knowledge among even the people who are the secret keepers. If you're not one of the people that gets to see it and people don't talk about it, then it really didn't happen in your head. I do think there will come a time when there are open hearings, and those hearings will first take on many of the issues that we're talking about that are present tense issues today. And they're certainly not going to take on John Lennon's UFO sighting, but they are going to take on Roswell. And there are probably documents that still exist, even though they tended to say they lost all of them previously. But there's going to be documents. There's going to be court challenges. And I think someday, maybe not in my lifetime, but someday people are going to haul out what crashed at Roswell and get a darn good look at it.
Right, but you still have supposedly a flying saucer that crashed in one form or another.
That's what I believe.
You look at the original report, it was really intact until it became wreckage. And you've had it somewhere. Scientists would have somewhere gone to look at what's happening to look at the technology, see if they can learn something from it.
Well, I think they did, but what has happened over the years? Eisenhower talked about it in 61 with the military-industrial complex. The fact that the military got first crack at the Roswell wreckage and other wreckage, all right, doesn't mean that it stayed in the military's possession. Because, again, if the military has it or the government has it, then those entities are responsible when it comes to FOIA requests and other things. The best thing to do if you're the military or the government and you have a hot potato-like wreckage or bodies is to farm it off to private enterprise, which are not subject to the same security provisions that the government is. And that's another way to keep these things secret. I think what crashed in Roswell was a craft, and I believe that it involved occupants not of this earth.
And some private company somewhere wreckage, and so they communicate with some kind of dark project within the government to speak of the progress, or do they stick it away somewhere?
Well, both. I think that there's enough stuff that's been looked at over the years. The Roswell wreckage may have been studied and sort of classified and put on the shelf because there's been new stuff to come online since then. So who knows who actually has possession and how many people know about it and that kind of thing right now. I think that is a fair question, and we don't know the answer. So there is that. But I do think private enterprise has had a really big role to play within this. And you don't have to take my word for it. That seems to be what Harry Reid has been saying. And certainly when he was talking about he wanted to go look at crash wreckage and he wanted to go look at Lockheed Martin and they wouldn't let him in. I mean, that's pretty revealing stuff. And then you have Lou Elizondo saying that there is crash wreckage. There's crash wreckage. Now, how much of it, I don't know. Why we have it, I'm not entirely sure. I just think we've got it.
Oh, but you'd mentioned with the Roswell anniversary about journalists pursuing things further, which reminded me in the opening remarks about how you were talking about a debate moderated by an involved reporter or moderator. Sure. How would that ever happen? Because most journalists are they hop into a UFO story and they announce it and it's over. They really don't have any depth of knowledge, and sometimes they present some pretty shady characters alongside reputable researchers. So, you know, how can we improve with the way the media treats things?
We'll have that answer in our next segment with Bryce and Jean and Kurt Kurin,
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former President Bill Clinton is expected to be discharged today from a California hospital where he's been since a few days ago. He was at California Irvine Medical Center since Thursday with a urinary tract infection, which became a blood infection. A spokesperson says, though, he's made great progress, and after one more overnight so they can continue to monitor him and give him antibiotics, he is expected now to be discharged sometime today. This news is getting great reviews, especially from those who work in the entertainment industry, as a major Hollywood strike has been avoided at just about the last minute. Some 60,000 International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees members were going to strike on Monday, but a deal reached on Saturday evening on a new 3-year contract will now stop that from happening, although the members do have to still take the ratification vote on that deal. And this is USA Radio News. The CDC is now urging all Americans to be vaccinated for the holidays, issuing new COVID-19 guidelines saying because, quote, holiday traditions are important for families and children, those eligible to get vaccinated should do so, getting those shots to protect those who cannot. The guidance also says having parties and gatherings outdoors will still be safer than having such gatherings indoors. Mick Jagger firing back at Sir Paul McCartney after McCartney recently said the Rolling Stones were just a blues cover band. During a SoFi Stadium Stones concert, Jagger defended his bandmates against those insults, he said, from the former Beatle. More than 40 years ago, John Lennon had said the Stones, when compared to the Beatles, quote, are not in the same class, music-wise or power-wise, so it probably hit a nerve with Jagger. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale!
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay, whale, whale, whale! Oh no, whale!
Times can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, picking a journalist with the depth of knowledge to be able to handle the debate, the great debate on this subject, Bryce Sable?
Well, I'm not going to be an apologist for all media from all time. Mistakes have been made, big ones. Journalists have not stepped up and done the job that they need to have done. But to find a journalist who actually could get up to speed on the topic shouldn't be too hard. If you think about it, even on that 60 Minutes piece, the correspondent there had to do a little homework to figure out what he was doing. And there are other journalists. I can't remember his name now, but there's a NBC reporter who has done a lot of work on this. And there's others. I'm not too worried about that. First, you'd have to get to where you want to have a debate, and you'd have to probably sell the rights to it to somebody, and they would have, whoever that entity would be, would probably have a lot of interest in who moderated such a debate. But what I would say to Neil deGrasse Tyson, if I was debating him, is like, okay, it's got to be mutually agreed upon. You know, we'll both pick somebody to be a moderator that I agree on and you agree on. I think that's easily doable in the same way that we could decide together where we wanted to do the debate, how long it should be, and any kind of rules or ground rules for it. None of that stuff is hard. Let's go to the larger issue, though, for a second. Journalism. I think we are about to see an explosion of UFO journalism. I base this because of the way Dolan and I broke down after disclosure was we tried to look back at historical precedent and say, does it have anything to tell us about UFOs in present day? Let's take a look at the greatest journalistic effort that we remember in our lifetimes, and that would be the Watergate investigation. Well, what happened with Watergate is that Woodward and Bernstein, yes, broke the story, and in fact, struggled to tell the story against a lot of pushback, but ultimately did push the story. But then once they pushed it through, they didn't own it. Then every other newspaper started trying to break their own scoops, and television networks tried to break scoops of their own. I think that's what's going to happen. Yes, the New York Times got to break the December of 2017 story, but that doesn't mean the New York Times owns UFOs. They may wish they did. They may be in a contest for it, but you're going to see more and more organizations get involved in it for the simple reason that it's a really juicy story. And if it's true, I know it's true myself, but I'm talking about from the journalistic perspective, if they think it might be true, then it is the biggest story they'll ever report in their careers. So some of them are going to come forward and try to get involved in it. You are going to see the mid to late 20s in an explosion of investigative journalism on the UFO topic.
Okay, so as soon as we see a few stories, the fact of competition will enter the fray, and that's therefore other reporters for other mediums will say, okay, let's get in on the action here. It's good for ratings.
I think so. I think competition is bred into not only the American fiber, but it's certainly bred into journalism. I'm a trained journalist myself. I went to school at the University of Oregon, School of Journalism, got my degree there. I've worked for CNN as an on-air correspondent. I was an investigative reporter at PBS, and I've been a general assignment reporter and anchor in several local markets. I know what journalism is like. I know what causes people to do what they do, and I am pretty sure that there are lots of journalists in local and in national settings who would like to talk about this story because it's so damned interesting. And the only thing that's been holding them back is this stigma that has traditionally been attached to it. And I think the one thing we might all agree on right now is that the stigma of talking about it, Neil deGrasse Tyson notwithstanding, is lessening. For example, in that CNN interview that we started talking about, it was Anderson Cooper that brought it up. You know, Tyson didn't bring it up. Anderson Cooper said, and what about these UFOs that people have been seeing? What's your take on that? I think there is a hunger to talk about it for two reasons. It's extremely interesting and compelling to the actual reporters themselves. And second of all, their audiences have been shown to really want to know more about it. So that's a pretty potent combination. So, yeah, Gene, I agree with you. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be competition, and competition sells soap, and it'll sell UFOs.
Okay, so it's 11 or 12 years after AD, after Disclosure, was released, depending on which version of the book we're talking about. It's 2021. When may we expect something to happen beyond the current level?
Well, okay. Let's talk about what disclosure might or might not mean. I'm going to use a Hollywood metaphor here. There are two kinds of disclosure you can have, and they're sort of what Hollywood would call either a hard cut or a slow dissolve, right? And hard cut disclosure is, you know, one of these things falls out of the sky, and it falls into the middle of Cleveland and knocks a couple of buildings down, and they can't hide it, and it becomes the biggest story, and boom, you're in Disclosureville, all right? The slow dissolve way is what we're in right now. We are literally in slow dissolve disclosure, where a little bit happens, it becomes more people seem to accept it. we're not quite there yet. There's still a lot of pushback from skeptics and so forth. Not everybody is on board. In fact, most people don't even think about it. That's the slow dissolve we're in. So to your question, which is let's call disclosure the moment when the great majority of people admit we're not alone and some other intelligence is visiting us and has been. Let's just call it that for sake of argument. Let's not call it extraterrestrial. Let's not call it time travelers. Let's not call it ultra-dimensional or anything. Let's just say there's another intelligence that appears to be non-human that is interacting with us now. At what point does the majority of the world's population believe that is what I'm going to call disclosure? And your question is, when do we get there? Well, prediction is a dangerous thing, and I have a friend who predicts that disclosure is going to happen next year, and he says it every year, and he's always been wrong, but one year he's going to be right, okay? I'm not going to do that. I think that there is a possibility of a fast race to global disclosure by as early as 2025. But if I had to bet on when we literally cross the threshold where the majority of the people go, we're not alone, and yet they may not be freaking out about it because it's of how it was handled or mishandled, whoever knows. But I would say we're going to get there no later than 2035 and probably by 2030.
Well, of course, the chances I'll be around to talk about it with you maybe slim to none. We'll see. Of course, you know, people live longer.
That's what's so great about predicting, Gene. You see, I get to predict, and you're not going to be there to check my work. It's great.
Hey, that's right. This is where you can get away with anything. I kind of look at a gradual thing where you keep feeding more and more information every year, and one day you wake up and we all know about it. But there's no major revelation anywhere along the line, and that makes public acceptance easier because it's just part of it, part of our life.
See, I agree with you. I think that that is what is planned and going on now. But what do we know about plans? Plans change. And what do we also know? What you're saying is exactly what's going on right now. Probably will be how it all rolls out because humans in authority have made a decision in some way, shape, or form to sort of stumble toward this revelation. Okay.
Let's do our break here. We've got more with Bryce, Gene, and Kirk. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork and Line Tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork and Line Tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork and Line Tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Before we go on, Kurt, any more questions from the forum, or should we persist?
Well, we had one that we sort of touched on before, but I'm going to kind of twist. It was a question from Richard Hawkins. He wanted to know about the UAP task force, and he wondered if it was a cover for the military-industrial complex and its black projects. So you can ask that. I just want to add my own sort of twist on that for you to comment on the fact that traditionally in ufology, speaking in entertainment terms, the heavy has always been the government who's been covering up and hiding things. And in the recent UAP news since 2017, all of a sudden we've had some ex-government officials, some current leaks and such, and people are expecting them to provide the answers, particularly so now with the new UAP task force. So if you can handle that two-part question, what do you think about that?
So what is the question exactly? That question on me one more time then.
Okay. All right. So the UAP task force, do we trust them? Or is this going to be providing cover for military projects?
Oh, I get it. Okay. Well, I would say this. Not every question has an either or answer, right? And sometimes two things can be true at the same time. So I think the UAP task force can be legitimate and have its own agenda and funding and resources and all of that. And at the same time, there can be a strong military or private enterprise or whatever component to the whole thing. And that these things sort of weave in and out of each other. I personally think that there are, in the same way that during the Vietnam War we had hawks and doves, I think there are hawks and doves about disclosure. And the interesting thing about that, let's call the hawks the one, I don't know whether you, now I'm having trouble with my own definition. Are the hawks the ones that want to do it right away? Let's call them that for now. The thing is, the people who want to do it right away have one thing in their power. They can sort of push it out. It's a lot harder to hold something in than it is to push it out, right? So the possibility that we're going to come up on something unusual and something revelatory is probably stronger than it's going to continue to amble on, even though I tend to agree with Gene. Now, I don't know if that answers any question, because I really don't. If the nature of the question is who's really in charge of this thing, I tend to think that it's like a lot of things in this country. There are power centers, and they are in competition with each other. And the one thing that has united them historically over the last 75 years has been the idea that whatever we do, let's keep this kind of hush-hush. It does appear to me that at least some of them have now decided hush-hush is not the plan anymore for reasons that I think are unclear. I'm not clear on why they're pushing ahead, but it seems clear that they are.
Well, one thing we kind of argue about or debate about is how much do presidents know? Mm. How much did Trump know? How much did Obama? How much did Joe Biden, because he's been in government service for 50 years?
It's a great question. I would say I don't think that Trump probably knew a lot. He may have known or thought he knew that they were authentic. But in his own sort of mind, he dealt with that in kind of a jokey way, I guess. I think if you look at Biden and Obama, who are sort of more traditional presidents in that regard, who sort of operate in a more traditional way and understand how security and classification and all that work, I don't think they probably have or had deep understanding, but I bet both Biden and Obama and frankly even Bush before them all knew that there was an authentic reality to the UAP issue, very similar to what the report has just said. If you're looking for people deep within it who are presidents, I think it's very clear that the first George Bush, George H.W. Bush, who was a former CIA director, probably knew a whole lot, and maybe most of it. And I think probably the same could be said for Dwight Eisenhower back in the day. I think Kennedy knew a little bit. Nixon knew a little bit. Carter was sort of prevented from knowing too much, as it seems clear was Ford. And Reagan, I think, knew more than a little bit. But those are just my takes.
What I ask about this is because we have statements from two former CIA directors, Brennan and Woolsey, saying basically something appears to be happening. I'd like to know more about it. But you think somebody who was the head of the CIA, wouldn't he be in the know?
I would hope. I would think so. And it may be that that is their own clever way of talking about it without breaking their own, you know, classification. It's really hard to know at that level. Clearly, those two gentlemen you just mentioned clearly know that whatever is happening is unconventional, right? I mean, their statements are pretty freaking clear. You don't have to be a complete genius to say they know something. Do they know everything? I bet they know pretty close to everything to the extent, and this is where it gets weird, isn't it? To the extent that it's possible to know everything. I tend to think that as this becomes more and more common, as we sort of inch toward disclosure, we're going to realize that one of the reasons that disclosure was so long in coming is that it is not yet clear to anybody exactly what's happening, or that the best theories about what is happening are so odd and so not of a type that you want to go and say to the people, this is what's going on, that's led to it. I mean, think about it. I don't care whether you're the president or the Pope or the UN Secretary General. If there were more than one kind of non-human intelligence engaging with us, and if some of them we suspected were hostile and some were not, and they included ultra-terrestrials, and they included time travelers. I mean, how do you disclose that to the American people in a nice soundbite? You know, it's just too complex. So you have theories, but I think at some point somebody has taken the position in the last, say, 5 to 10 years that this is a show that is happening anyway, and so we better move it forward so we can manage it as successfully as possible.
To the extent they can manage it.
Yeah, to the extent. Well, and they probably can't. However, can they manage it better than just letting it break and become a panic room, turn the world into a total panic room? Yeah, they probably think they can try to do that. And in fact, they're probably, you know, probably the solution for that is exactly what Gene said, which is, you know, a little bit of daylight at a time until one day you wake up and you go, wow, it's morning. When did that happen?
Kurt, do you want to pop in here?
Well, I was going to say that, so part of the reason I think that the topic has gained ground is that they have focused on some the sensor data, the videos and things, and that the claims of abductions and a lot of the extravagant things that sold UFO magazines long ago have been downplayed, you know, and so military witnesses and things like that. So, and I guess one of the big problems I think has always been that people like Neil deGrasse Tyson are depicting ufology as a stereotype, and that some of the extremists and the really outlandish material, they don't differentiate that from military witnesses. I think that's the big problem. I don't really have a question with that, but if you can reflect on that, that'd be great.
Buried in what you were saying, though, you was the first time any of us, I think, have uttered the word abductions. I think that that's the big question mark in all of this right now. Are they real? Are some of them real, but others aren't real? What's really going on with that? Because I don't think it's probably a good idea for humans to feel that we're being taken like lab animals and tagged and released back into the wild. I just feel myself that there are so many being reported that there can't quite that it leads me to believe two things. And again, this is just my impression. You guys probably would be curious on your impression. My impression is some of them have been real, and my impression is that some of them have been distorted over the years. And in fact, whenever UFO conference now has experiencer sessions, that's kind of encouraging more reports. And I don't know. It would be astonishing to me if all of the ones that are reported are real. What do you guys think?
Well, we'll get a break now, and we'll have one more segment with Bryce Zabel and Gene, and, of course, with Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC.
They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.